actually a big dog.
What do you need to hear? Us?
I think Sue was bringing it over to our house.
Record.
Really?
Yeah, if they didn't find anybody.
I just watched the lines.
Poor thing was starting to get panicked.
You read this, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. So good evening. This is the regular meeting of the Committee of the Lebanon Township, February 21st, 2018. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please rise for the flag salute and a moment of silence?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item of business is the presentation of minutes. We have before us the minutes of the regular meeting of February 7th, 2018. At this time, if anyone has any comments, you could make them, or we could entertain a motion for the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of February 7th, 2018.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Second item is the minutes of the executive session minutes from February 7th, 2018. Any comments or motion?
There are no comments. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the executive meeting of February 7th, 2018.
Second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. The next item is to open the meeting for public comment, limited to agenda items only. Would there be a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open the public comment.
Second. Is there a second?
Yes. Second.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, the meeting is open for public comment, limited to agenda items only. There'll be a second public comment period later for any topics that the public may have. Seeing no comments on agenda items, is there a motion to close the public
comment? So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. First, or the next item under ordinances, we have before us ordinance number 2018-02 for fair share housing. This would be the introduction. This is an ordinance amending chapters 199 and 400 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon pursuant to a settlement agreement between the Fair Share Housing Center and the Township of Lebanon dated August 15, 2017, as approved by the Superior Court of New Jersey, Somerset County Law Division on September 12, 2017. The public hearing for this would be on March 7th, 2018. The amendment puts into our ordinances the settlement agreement that the committee has already approved several meetings back for the court settlement. I don't know if anyone has any discussion on this amendment to the ordinances.
Do we need a motion to introduce?
Yeah. Otherwise,
is there a motion? If there's
I'll
no
make
discussion?
That motion to introduce ordinance number 2018-02, Fair Share Housing.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So that is introduced. The second ordinance before us actually will require significant discussion from the committee if we can reach an understanding tonight prior to introducing it. There are several items that we have to discuss, but they're all in discussion with the attorney. They're of the sort that we could mark up the draft tonight, agree to introduce it, and get it ready for publication alongside the previous ordinance. This would be ordinance number 2018-03, an ordinance of the Township of Lebanon amending Chapter 110 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon to increase developers' fees in compliance with applicable law. The situation here is the township has a development fee ordinance already in place. The COA rules have changed several years ago, which would allow us to modify our ordinance, in some cases require us to make some modifications, and would allow us to raise the fee from 1 to 1.5% on residential development and from 2 to 2.5% on commercial development. Looking into this a little bit further, it became clear that The ordinance that we have in place charges this fee on any expenditure greater than $50,000. I think it was in 2012 the planning board and the committee decided to put a threshold of $50,000 of expenditure before the before the fees would be imposed. It turns out in practice we charge the development fees only on new construction. Separately, the COA rules have changed over the years, which would now, the draft COA rules, almost recommended COA rules, would put the fee on a change in the assessed value of a property rather than on the amount that would be spent on a project. So what the decisions we have before tonight are several. Number one, whether we keep the fee at 1% and 2% or whether we increase it to 1.5% and 2.5%. I think we have to address either we change our practice to follow the current ordinance, or we make the current ordinance follow our current practice, or we adopt the slight change and put the fee onto the change in assessed value. If we put the fee on the assessed value, the way the COA rules would have it, it would go on the first dollar of increased assessed value. If we want to follow the spirit of our current ordinance and what the township had done years ago, we could insert a threshold where we would apply the fee on increase in the assessed value above a certain threshold. And just in the text, you'll see a proposed number of, say, a $20,000 threshold. Just for frame of reference, that would be about a 5% increase in the value of the typical average assessed house in residential property in our township. The thought here is that we don't necessarily want to go through the complication of generating, you know, $10 fees on someone remodeling their kitchen or their bathroom, and we don't want to put it on someone putting a new roof and maintenance and things on their homes. Technically, the way ours reads right now, if you did your septic system and a roof, you would be paying a development fee when it really has a very minor impact on your assessed value. So that's the reason we would consider changing to assess value and putting a threshold like $20,000. I think those would be the couple of points. Then there'll be a couple of additional questions that flow out of that. But let's start.
So ours right now kicks in at $50,000.
$50,000 of spending. Even if it doesn't change the value of your property.
Regardless of what someone may want to do with their home. So if you were to put roofing, windows, siding, and that was over $50,000 as a development fee right now.
That's the ordinance.
To my mind, that when you talk about development fee, something like that really isn't, to me, should be calculated as a development fee. When someone has to put a roof on their home or siding or windows to keep the elements outside, I don't see that as a development. You know what I mean? I see a development as an expansion, you know, and that, like someone putting a kitchen in, is that really a development? So, you know, the assessed value, the market assessed value, what I see there is, to me, there'd be less generated for our housing trust that way, I think, than what we have now, because you may take a threshold of 20, and that's only the increase over the existing house, so there might be a little less coming into our housing trust unless we
let me address that, because right now we only assess the fee on new construction.
Yeah, there's none coming in, right? I mean, it's so fair to say there's little or none correct. Coming in.
Well, no, I think I have the exact number. There's roughly $25,000 last calendar year from new construction.
Okay. Although our ordinance states one thing, we don't quite follow. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And our tax assessor surveyed a number of neighboring towns, and that's very typical, that the ordinance doesn't match the practice.
I just want to avoid penalizing somebody for doing maintenance and minor upgrades.
Exactly.
And
you should know as well, I've checked with the assessor and others, the procedure is already in place. If somebody comes in and gets a building permit for their roof or whatever, mm-hmm. It
right.
still goes through the assessor. The assessor signs off and says no change in value, because the tax assessor needs to reflect increases right. in value for the purposes of taxes.
Here's a question. And seeing as how we haven't had assessments in years, can the person come in and request their house to be assessed prior to the work to be done, so they're not being penalized by a market jump?
I believe they would have to go through an appeals process if they want to challenge their current.
You know, like if they were down $15,000 by market,
yep.
But then they do an addition, so now they're up $35,000
or so, you know. Go up, no?
This doesn't trigger the assessment of the property. It just triggers the difference in the value from the
So they would be just assessing that.
The assessor just looks at
that
the
window, so to speak.
The construction project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
a fair question, but
yeah.
No, it wouldn't trigger. But the other good, I think, a nice thing about going with the assessed value is there's a very clear appeals process, which you might have seen written in this draft as well. If you don't like the assessor's decision, you can appeal it. On the dollar value of the construction, we really don't have a method to appeal that.
Right. No, I definitely think it should be on an assessed value. I mean, the arbitrary $50,000, you can spend that on home improvements easy that aren't really home improvements. It's just making sure the elements aren't getting in and destroying your house.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely feel that. And, I mean, that end of it, I think it's cut and dry and having a threshold of somewhere $10,000, $20,000, some value that so we're not going after $10, $15. It doesn't make any sense. It creates more cost in the paperwork than it does for the revenue.
Okay. I think rather than officially voting on every one of these aspects, I think let's just look left and right. Is everyone comfortable if we structure this based on change in assessed value just as a starting point?
Are we going to fix the ordinance? Or
if we can get to it tonight, and if we can't and we have to table it, we could table it. Yeah. But the plan is to address to the attorney the changes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But they all
we can't. Presuming there's a meeting of the minds or there's a consensus, then we can accomplish that. We're not really have our backs against the wall to do it, but certainly if there's a consensus and we can set that forth clearly here on the record, then we can.
Yes, so, I was thinking, so I'd like it to be whatever we do, good for the township, good for the residents, and does no harm anywhere. You know, when I see like a mismatch with ordinances and what we're doing and other towns are doing it, is it ever going to come back to bite you?
Well, I think, as the mayor stated, whatever you decide, as long as that then becomes the practice, we will be ahead of where we are right now, which is it says one thing and the way it's handled is different,
okay.
You know, with regard at least to the residential.
Well, I think that appeal process sounds fair as we could possibly be, maybe.
So then I'll sort of keep some notes and then we'll summarize it all at the end. But if we're going to base it on the change in assessed value, does anyone have a thought on do we want a threshold and what the threshold would be? As I said, $20,000 is on the table as the threshold. And once we decide that, there'll be a few more details that I need to bounce off of you. But
I kind of agree with the threshold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That it's elevated slightly and, you know, we're not, you know, having a development fee on just any increase, so there's an increase of 5%, you said?
That would be on the average house.
You know, on average, you know.
Let's go backwards a little bit to the appeal. In the process of them getting the permits and approval, is this somewhere in writing that they would see that they know that that is an option for them?
To appeal? Yes.
Because generally a person will come in, They won't realize that.
The way I read this, prior to issuing the building permits, there's an estimate on what they think. So if it's a homeowner, let's say, a resident or a developer, they would know approximately the estimate above where their current value is. So they're not going to go into this blind. There's a process, and I think they have to come up 50%.
Yep.
Before the permits are issued,
yep.
And then the balance once the assessor finalizes what the increase
was. Is there anywhere disclosed saying there is a process to appeal?
The green card that gets sent out every year for your person's tax assessment tells you that you have the right to appeal your assessed value. And
well, that part I know, but I mean, when it comes
so
to the time of doing a permit.
We could add that to a form. I don't know if that needs to be in the ordinance.
I'm just trying to think forward.
I think Brian's right. You know,
in the form, we could add that to make sure everyone
and
knows.
And it's in there and on the form that they would get that.
So it's transparent. That you do have an avenue here to appeal.
Yep.
And where does this money go when it's collected? Into a certain part of the budget? Is it held?
It goes into a trust fund.
Fair share
housing
okay.
trust fund.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And the ordinance, I think, this ordinance now tells very clearly what it can be used for.
Yes.
Good.
So clearly.
Yeah, good.
Which is important because
yeah.
right.
administration fees come out of that as we implement. Mm-hmm. And the agent that's going to handle this, you know, once a year there's a notification to all residents, and then quarterly there's reports. So there's a cost to the residents for this that can come out of that, and that's mm-hmm. written clearly in here.
Good.
You know, I think.
The planner, whenever he does his stuff, all that value can come out of it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
So is there a consensus on a 20,000
I'm leaning that
threshold?
Mm-hmm.
20,000 sounds reasonable.
Mm-hmm. So now we've got a couple of details about this. The language here says, and then the draft that you have in front of you says, mm-hmm. an expansion of your value. I think we need to specify more clearly. That can be read as an expansion, say you're putting a new addition on your house, which is an expansion of your square footage, or do we also want to capture an expansion of the value? For example, if you go from an unfinished basement to a finished basement, that changes your assessed value, and some towns capture that and some towns don't. So the question is, do we put it on an expansion of the footprint of the structure or an expansion or other improvement?
Expansion of living space, I would think, would be...
To capture if you build a new garage, if you build a...
Okay, so now, what if you put a brand new kitchen on that increases the value of your house where it's not expanding the footprint? It's almost like two separate thoughts.
Mm. Right. Well, that's what he says.
And that's,
that's his point.
That's what we're looking for feedback. If you see, in one scenario, you could remodel your kitchen, your great room, put in a finished basement, and make a significant change to the value of your house.
Mm-hmm.
And if we limit it to only a change in the footprint, that doesn't generate fees.
Yeah, I wouldn't limit it to
okay.
that.
Just kind of going back to that roof issue we had recently, mm-hmm. changing the pitch, mm-hmm. but was it going to be living space or not was kind of the key here.
Yeah, a finished basement could increase the living space overall.
It would. Knowing that you've got a $20,000
right.
ceiling before you hit that, so... If you're doing work yourself,
maybe that's a little low. I don't know. Nowadays, 20,000 doesn't get you very far.
we can come back to that at the end. So right now, the working assumption is we put it on expansion or other improvements. So we're capturing a change in the value, no matter where it's coming from. Okay. Now a little detail, but it needs committee decisions here. You do a project that increases the value of your property, say, to by $30,000. Does the fee go from $1, or does the fee start above $20,000 to $30,000? And I'll tell you, the reason, right now it's phrased that it starts above $20,000, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of different scenarios. Let's say your house is demolished by a fire, and you have to rebuild your house. The way it's written right now, you don't pay a development fee if you yourself rebuild the house and it's within $20,000 of the original value. Because I think we should give everybody that same kind of cushion to, improve a little bit here or there. If you go from a two-bedroom house and you rebuild as a four-bedroom house, you pay on the amount over $20,000.
We don't want to make money on these fees, but we want the fees to subsidize our expenses.
Exactly.
And our
constitutional obligation.
Right.
So. And I think in line with what Bev was reflecting, I think we want to have as few loopholes as we can find so that it's fair to everyone.
Yeah.
So people can't game the system.
Yeah.
My thought was, keep in mind, a $20,000 improvement is a $300 development fee, 1.5% on a residential expansion. We're talking $300. So my thought was we give everybody the first $20,000 without charging a fee on it.
Sure.
And of course, if somebody improves their house by $21,000, we're charging $3.
$300 should make us solvent. You feel?
I think we're expanding the base enough that.
Okay.
We can revisit this in a couple of years. By the way, the other background, this fee is really now building us toward the year 2025. when the current COLA regulations go into the next
The value round. We have in our bank now kind of covers what we have, can cover us till about 2025, but we'll run out essentially at that point. So we need to build from this point to then to have the money for past 2025.
So we can let this run for a couple of years and see if we need to address it. But we have very little new construction, so sure. That's why I think we need to expand our base a little bit. So I'm sort of seeing nods. Unless anyone disagrees, I think there's a consensus that we waive it on the first 20,000.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Since I mentioned the idea of a home that had to be demolished because of fire or tornado or whatever else, we have cases where homes are demolished, then the property is sold to a developer. In the current COA rules and this current draft, for new construction, if somebody buys an undeveloped lot and puts a house on it, the fee in this draft would be charged on the value of the land and the house. That's partly a practical consideration that the assessor, it's very hard to separate land and house value, so it's just easier, and it seems in a way, again, closes loopholes if you say it's on the house and it's on the whole value. That's the bottom line of what the assessor looks at. So the question would be, number one, to confirm that point, do we want to have the development fee on new construction on the value of the land and the structure that's built, or just on the structure? And then it ties into this idea, if someone's house burns down and they rebuild it the same way, with the same value plus $20,000, there'd be no development fee. But if the house burns down, they demolish it, they sell it to someone else, then that new person would have the development fee. So the language to make it that work would be that the exemption for demolished homes only applies if the reconstruction is completed by the same owner of the property.
Yeah. I would say, if it switches ownership, I would say that right is lost, I would think. Then it could be, it's redevelopment.
Yes, I agree. It's been developed. Whatever that is, if it's knocking down, add a level, whatever,
yeah.
It's redevelopment.
And it changed hands, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, in a case like our house, we have the house from 1888. Say, like, that burns down, and somebody... we decided to build whatever they allow you to build, but brand new, everything's new, and the assessed value goes up. Does that come into play at all?
Yeah.
If you build, let's say someone has a two-bedroom Cape Cod, mm-hmm. and they replace it with a five-bedroom, you know, mm-hmm. Georgian mm-hmm. mansion, they would pay the development fee, even if it was from fire that burned. They would pay the development fee on the value above what the existing value was with a $20,000 window. Mm. So in a specific case of an historic home, I'm sure there are going to be sometimes when it works and sometimes when it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't know how those values yeah. would...
But it was $100,000 going in, and you at the it comes out at $200,000, you're paying on $80,000. Mm-hmm.
So, should I recap I didn't ask for a consensus back to the top line question whether we raise the fee from 1% to 1.5% for residential and from 2% to 2.5% on non-residential.
What are the benefits, would you say? Or I don't know. Are there? I mean, you're going to get more revenue, obviously,
you get more revenue.
But is there a downside and an upside to either?
I would say the higher the fee, the more you discourage development. The question is a 0.5% a true discouragement? Mm. I can also tell you every town around is already at 1.5% and 2.5%.
I think given the waiver of $20,000 versus a higher waiver, 1.5% makes sense to me. If it was higher, I think 1% might play into it. So I'm kind of with the 20%, you know, 20,000. Kind of low threshold there. Mm-hmm. 1.5% would help generate some trust fund money. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. It's my thoughts.
And we can mm-hmm. come back to this in 2-3 years.
Exactly.
If we see for some reason it's exploding because of one or the other, we can adjust it down or we can adjust it up. We have we luckily have a few years before that 2025
yeah, exactly.
to make sure. I think we put it on the mm-hmm. you know the 2020, 2021 agenda, or mm-hmm. whoever's here, this should be reassess it at that point and see where it goes. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is, I think, the best guess that we can make at this point. I think we put ourselves in a comfortable position to make sure the money's there, and then if we see it's way more than we'll need, because we won't need a lot, but we will need some, it can be readdressed.
And I'm comfortable that it's being used for the purpose that it's being used for. It's not like
that's
we're just increasing.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
we're
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Restricted
just,
by ordinance and law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So is that a consensus to increase to 1.5 and 2.5?
I would say, yeah.
So the, just to recap, and Matt, tell me if I miss anything, but the draft that you have in front of us, that we have in front of us, we would increase the development fees to 1.5% and 2.5% as in your draft. In point 110-5B on the second page, where it says to be determined 20,000 as the threshold, we will agree to make that 20,000. The line above that where it says such expansion after expansion, we will insert expansion of the footprint of the structure to make it clear to everyone who reads it that it's on. I'm sorry, is that wrong?
Yeah.
Not expansion or other improvement.
Right.
To make it clear that it's on all increase in the value. As this ordinance is written, it waives the fee on the first $20,000 of increased equalized assessed value. On the for new construction as written here, it applies to both the land and the structures. And that's in point G as written, so that's what we agreed to. And backing up to point F, we will add at the end of that sentence, this exemption for residential homes demolish and replace. This exemption shall only apply if the demolition and reconstruction are completed by the same owner of the property. So I think I would ask Matt first to confirm if we've addressed all the issues to be able to.
Yes, this is a housekeeping matter that the TBDs, the to be determined, should also be strict.
Those are struck.
And additionally, I believe it's the intent that paragraph E, which is the appeal of development fees, we should parenthetically insert the following paragraph shall be inserted into the application forms used in this process. I believe if that's the intent.
Which section number again?
E.
Appeal and development.
Well, I'm sorry. It would be 106.
There it is, yeah.
106E.
Yep.
Appeal of development.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that was a consensus as well.
Yeah. Would that also work for non-residential? To inform them or not?
They have a different appeal process, you see
okay.
here. In terms of informing them? We could easily inform them.
If we're doing it with residential, maybe non-residential, we also offer the same. We're not sleight of hand. We're just being open.
Matt, so we would
if it's inserted above the line, so to speak, at the E title section, it would cover both.
And two? Okay.
Yeah. If you wanted to limit it to one or the other, you could do so within that subsection. But by inserting it above the line, equivalent to the title, parenthetically, it would cover both subsections.
I'm covering both then. So if we have a consensus on all of those changes, I think the vote before us would be to introduce this.
I would vote to amend as just stated, take a vote on the amendment, and then vote to introduce.
Okay. So is there a vote to amend the ordinance amendment as just stated?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second. That's 2018-03. Yes. Amend. Yes, yes, I second that.
Is there a roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And so the next vote would then be to introduce
Correct. It would be
the
separate
amended ordinance number 2018-03 with a public hearing to be held March 7th, 2018. Is there a motion for that?
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Thank you very much. Was your government in action?
Yeah, right.
Very good. Well done.
So, we have no resolutions tonight. The first item under old business is an update on the volunteer event. Turn it over to the subcommittee.
Pat, would you like to
go ahead?
Please.
No, please. Well, I feel where we've come to this point after all of our strategizing and analysis and polling of people is that we're probably, I don't know, Kim, did you hear from the Parks Commission yet on what they want, dinner dance versus picnic?
Four for dinner, one for either way, and one for picnic.
Okay, so the fire department seems to be the more heavily weighted towards the picnic. So it's slightly leaning towards the picnic if they come. and you know, and there's a lot more of them. So with that,
okay.
I mean, I feel like we're in paralysis by analysis almost at this point. We just have to make a decision or we're not going to have a date.
Well, we are. We're going to get the rest of the committee involved here in a minute, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
We've certainly had a spirit discussion about whether it should be a venue with a DJ at a hall, dinner, you know, kind of nappy dress and cleaned up, or just a picnic, you know. And it seems to have gone right down the middle of the road, and so many people for dinner, so many people for the picnic. And I've learned a lot of what people expect from a place like this. A lot of people have said to me that they would prefer to keep in Lebanon Township. I have my druthers about that only because the building would be new to start up something there. That would lead me to stay with a picnic. I've had folks say that, you know, they prefer background music so they can kind of, and I found out that a lot of people take this as a chance to get to know one another, because there's an influx of newer folks coming into it that are volunteering and so forth and so on. So I'm torn which way to go. For me, the easiest way to do is have a dinner. I'll be honest with you. I don't have to put a tablecloth out or nothing. Just go over there and make sure the committee's agreeing with it, and we go to Bloomsbury. So that's the easiest thing for me. But I'm not going to take the easy road.
What if...
Oh, go ahead.
If we did do a picnic, what if we just did it different? Instead of having just the picnic tables that we all spread so far out, what if we actually had some actual big round tables where we could get people together a little bit more constructively, make it a little more personal?
I've said in the past the round tables make it the event a lot better when you...
I agree.
Square tables, yeah. You know, you're waving to the other person down there. So that's a good suggestion. You know what I mean?
Kind of make it like a dinner setting. You know, get us a little tucked in a little closer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But still have a kind of a picnic atmosphere. And have it in town.
Well, I tell you, Bev has, you know, certainly done more work on this than me, I can tell, with the information I received today. A little stunned
here.
Parties
are us.
No, I don't have the estimates on the catering yet, but we'll try to work on that. So what's everyone feel here?
Well, you want me to just tell you about, do you want to even think about the squad building? You want me to kind of, or not?
Is it going to be big enough?
I went in there comfortable for 80 to 90 if you have round tables. I was there last Friday for the dinner with the kids, and I listened to the sound system. If you're going to do it there, they do have round tables. I don't know how many. There were five, but if we needed to rent them, I have the prices on all that. But what you're dealing with, too, is if it's a dinner, let's not even talk about the dance part. If it's a dinner and you want to have a caterer and bartenders, we have some insurance issues. And I gave Matt he just got it. I'm not expecting you to look at it. But when I talk to the insurance company, it seems like if you want to have a dinner dance from a liability perspective, if you're serving alcohol, no matter if it's hard liquor, wine, beer, no difference, have it out at a place that's full service like Bloomsbury, because then we're all going to, if something happens, of course they're going to come after the township as well, but the primary is they're going to go after the firehouse or the Bloomsbury, because they're going to have insurance, and we would be added as an additional insured. So, in other words, too, if you want to have a bartender, for example, here rolling bars at the squad building, you're going to be in more trouble if something goes wrong, because, you know, unless it's part of a full-service caterer hosting it. So,
and in talking to caterers along that line, the venue starts to increase in cost.
Mm-hmm.
What about California? The firehouse there?
Listen,
I'm just throwing it out there.
No, I hear you.
I think it's
a little larger.
I don't know if I would.
It's closer to town.
Would it make sense for us to get a consensus on picnic versus dinner? Because that's really
or
red and blue.
Okay, well, let's talk about this, too. Time of day versus, because some people have problems with it being so early,
yes,
the picnic. So let's, if we think about a picnic but more of a dinner picnic, versus a normal middle of the day or whatever, 4 o'clock.
About
I don't know.
Mosquitoes.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that's, well, we have the
and,
dates.
And then the park is, the dates are getting extreme to pick a date in the park. You know, I think we have one or two left in June.
Yeah.
And then it's right into July, August, or September.
Yeah.
We're running out of time on that. I mean, we have some reserved there. The dinner, if it was to be held at Bloomsbury, that would be an April event, which we still can do.
So what's the recommendation of the subcommittee? Picnic or dinner?
Well put.
I'll ask the chair for him to weigh. He's got more weight. I'm kind of the assistant.
Well, I hope that no one has to ever do this again. I hope that what we do will be something we handle for quite a few years to come. But, you know, it could always be thrown back on the table. I'm very torn between this whole thing.
What about weather? How do you feel?
I'm a little concerned with
if
weather.
If we're going to do something a little more formal with
the
round table.
The other thing is the June date. It messes up. You know, I personally, hey, and a lot of my friends, hey, and some people didn't make it because of that.
Okay, yeah.
Let's do the dinner. That's fine.
Dinner?
Yeah. Let's see how everybody cleans up.
I'll tell you, may not see anyone from the fire department there. That was one of their concerns. They got
really
dressed up. Yeah.
So if it's dinner, does that mean Bloomsbury dinner? Or is you're mentioning squad? I'm just
seeing
what the recommendation.
If you're going to go to the squad building and you're going to piece it all together, you're going to spend the same amount of money, have more liability than if you go to Bloomsbury and have a turnkey operation where they have the insurance, they're hosting, they have the servers. We don't have to get servers. We don't need to get bartenders. We don't have to worry.
The florist is included, reasonable for decorations for the tables and everything.
Right. So now, we could have it, tell the fire department, come as you are. They don't have to dress up.
They really don't have to.
They don't have
Nobody
to dress
really
up.
Nobody really has to. Right?
No.
It could turn out to be really fun that way, too.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing a recommendation for Bloomsbury dinner.
It's leaning that way, yes.
And
jeans are fine. Informal.
Informal, yeah.
I mean, if we're doing a dinner, my opinion is if we're doing a dinner, then we go somewhere where we don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
Otherwise, there's no point in doing the dinner.
That's good from over here.
Yeah. And they had those dates open, and when I tried
what
to...
Dates?
The one I said... I
have them here.
Yeah, and the thing is, I tried to work them around so that they weren't the night where the next day was a pancake breakfast.
April 7th, 14th, or 21st.
What was it?
April 7th, 14th, or 21st.
I can't do April 7th. Did I say 7th or 27th? Is it on there?
That's the date. Is that the date?
Oh,
excuse me.
That's for the park.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know what Bloomsbury.
Yeah, I have the dates on. I have it in my other.
I believe it what I remember you saying was it was either the 2nd and the 3rd. The fourth week of April.
Okay, here's what they had.
Those are all Saturday nights.
They're Saturday
nights. All Fridays, they have available all Fridays and Saturdays in April, all Fridays and Saturdays in May, except for May 19th and Friday, June 1st. So I told her that I thought May 5th would be great because it's Cinco de Mayo. You could have a really fun theme. There's your theme right there. So, and that can lend itself to being more casual. And I told her to call me if that date gets taken, but she hasn't, so I'd have to still confirm it. That's my thought.
Is there a recommended date?
May 5th? If available. And if not,
back to
the old picnic
May
date.
May 5th is the first choice. What is the second choice?
The
you
June.
Have the dates.
I have the...
We're going backwards, aren't we, to April?
The April.
All Fridays and Saturdays in April. Now, this
we
was
prefer to do
a
it
month
in
ago.
April, I think.
You want to do April?
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo, it can be Saturday, Cinco de Mayo, or April. So let's pick a date in April so we have a backup.
Oh, we have a backup. Okay.
Yeah.
Where was the calendar? Let me just see here. Because I want to make sure we don't have pancake breakfast and all that the next day. Okay.
You don't.
I can't do the 7th because I...
That's fine.
It's a big thing. Easter's the 1st. Let's see, the 14th. Pancake breakfast would be the 8th, so you don't want to have it on the 7th anyway. So the 14th, 14th, 21st, or 28th?
21st.
As a backup.
You lose the environmental plate.
What?
We're totally booked that day.
Oh, that's true. The environmental commission.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Make it the 28th because the next day is a full moon, and that's close enough to
the 28th. Then
that changes everything.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh.
So 28th for the 5th.
Yeah.
And the event will start approximately. When do we used to do?
6
to 7.
6 to 7.
7.
6 to 7 is the five to six was cocktails, and then dinner. At 6 and to 10. I think this.
I'm going to tentatively say that it's going to start around 6 o'clock. We're going to figure that out.
That's
back to you on that.
And can you remind us what the budget is for a Bloomsbury thing?
Yeah, it was like Kim had given me the information. It was, what was it? Well, and that was how many? 60 something people. It was like 42. I have to.
That's with that.
Yeah. Hang on a second.
Well, yeah.
Here.
What's that?
That's with alcohol.
Starting around $30 a person plus gratuities includes some alcohol. And this was based on me just talking with Holly. So this is, more current.
When you say some alcohol, I mean like beer and wine?
They had all kinds of options. You can give out a ticket, two tickets where people get two free drinks. You could have, really what it looked like the best option is to have a one-hour open bar, all the cocktails, beer, wine, and then go to beer and wine after that. That's how I think they...
The last one we did,
cash bar.
Cash bar after the first hour.
No wine and beer for the rest.
We did cash bar for the rest of the night.
Yeah, the rest of the night.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Yeah, it was the first hour was cocktail was open, and then the rest of it was a cash bar. The last time we were there, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Now,
so is $40 a person a decent estimate?
Well, now, the only other thing you have to think about now is, do you want a DJ or do you want to use the rec team sound system and make a playlist? Which, not you. Not with it. No, you're not. You did it enough. Two years in a row. With Slack or whatever.
Well, I think we want to make sure there's a speaker there. We need a microphone. I mean... Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a microphone there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was theirs or the DJ that we've hired.
Oh.
DJ.
Because I think we've had it... The last time was a DJ was there.
Mm-hmm. I hate to be mundane.
I know.
What's the...
Well, the guy...
I mean, if we're at $40 a person, roughly what I'm hearing, mm-hmm. from $30 plus tip plus some drinks, and if we're budgeting for 100 people, so that's $4,000.
Yeah.
What's the DJ cost?
The guy's spinner.
$550.
So. Yes. Yeah.
I thought we were right around $5,000 at that last time.
When you were polling people, did you get much indication of people dancing? Saying that... Because the meetings that I've heard polling... I didn't hear people suggesting dancing likely.
Yeah. I didn't either.
I more heard what you said in terms of people wanting to be able to, to get to know each other.
I hear you. So maybe we can evolve with both. Only because it's a big place. You need a little music or something.
There's some music. Yeah. The question is whether it's a playlist or an actual person.
Yeah, and somebody might, you never know once people start having a good time. If you have the right music and you want to change it, it's very easy to change it. And if people want to start dancing... especially like if the fire department comes, they might, who knows.
Or the park committee.
The young people. But we don't have to decide
environmentalist.
So why don't we just set it at 5,000 and try to beat that and come in less?
Okay.
That's what I would
just
say.
Please, no plaques for me this year.
Sure.
No.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Ping pong.
I just can't stand gray. I want this thing done.
Okay.
So either whatever you want to do, just
so
let's
either
do it.
April 28th or May 5th.
Yes.
It's at, what do they call the hall?
The Riverview.
Riverview.
Riverview Banquet Hall.
Mm. And we'll decide on what we're doing as far as music is concerned.
I will call her tomorrow, and if there's any problems with those dates, I'll let you know.
We're going to do some appreciation things?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we are.
We'll put together
another
plan.
Don't get me anything because I'm not leaving yet. So. They tried to bribe me once with a plaque and it didn't work. So.
We'll get you a bigger plaque.
Do we need a motion to memorialize this in any way, or is this just a...
We're not spending the money right now.
Yeah,
but
we got to get full dates and stuff.
Just a consensus on
just to keep everybody on the
you never know.
Same page.
Sure.
So... Do you want a motion or you don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I agree right where it is.
So then we ready for the next point on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. The next point on the agenda is recontouring of the Mechanics Bay floor. Everyone remembers that we sent out a set of specifications to bidders earlier this year, and the price came back well above our expectation, so we rejected that bid. Mark has now reviewed this more with our legal department, with our attorney.
All of us.
the whole staff. So there's a modified bid in front of you. Mark, do you want to go over that? Do you want me to...
You can continue. It's fine. If you got it, if you know it, I mean...
The main change, so tell me if... The main change in the current bid that would go out is to take off the requirement for a so-called surety bid, and the requirement that the bidding entity has to either supply a bond or cash deposit at the time they submit the bid. That is put in, I'll explain it, and Matt, you correct me, and then we'll go back and forth. That's normally put in to sort of get some earnest money that, in fact, if you say, then we give you the contract, you will be here on day X, that the vendor actually shows up, and that if they get into the job and decide it's different than what they thought it was and they want to bail out in the middle, we've got some money to compensate that we don't return to them. We compensate for the inconvenience and everything else. The scope of this project is grinding the concrete floor, and I did discuss this with our DPW manager as well. So the risk is that we schedule on whatever day that the contractor is going to show up. We have to remove some bolted down lifts and clear the room. They don't show up. It's certainly an inconvenience, but it's by no means a
financial impact.
A huge financial impact, a meaningful financial impact.
Yeah.
If they come in and let's say the first step is stripping the epoxy off the floor and they decide it's a different concrete than they thought it was and they're going to lose a huge amount of money and they want to bail on the contract, same thing. It's an inconvenience, but they're not tearing up the floor except for a small 18-inch square piece around the middle drains. So the question is, if the committee believes that we can accept the risk in this case of not having a surety bond for hopefully getting a lower price for the contract coming in from this bid. Obviously, we don't have to accept anything that's not a good bid. We have looked carefully, and all the insurance requirements are still in place. So if there's a catastrophic accident that damages the building in a material way, the insurance requirements are all here. So that's the scope of the new bid specifications.
What it came down to, and we worked on this back and forth, is weighing the uniqueness of the project and the desire to get this problem, this long, resolved, versus our protections should the vendor bail out on us post-award and pre-work, or like you said, as the mayor set forth, do a tiny bit of work and walk off. It is a unique project. It's not a straight curbing project or things that we're used to dealing with all the time. So within your purview to make that decision, to weigh the balance of foregoing a little bit of protection in order to drive the bid cost down and maybe possibly even get additional bidders, which of course would drive the bid cost down, and getting this long-standing problem resolved.
The big thing when I went through this, there's two things that I went, one with Matt, of what things do we have to be in there being a public bid that just because of the nature has to be in there. So a lot of that's there. And the other end of it is, if we were just hiring this person, got three bids, it was under $17,000 to do the work, what would we require of them to provide us to ensure that they're doing the work and if we're protected by them? And that's really what we kind of condensed this down to, because, yes, it's $40,000, but we're talking a very, you know, that's our thought process, is that, you know, it's a little footprint. If they do bail on us, it really, you know, like I said, it will inconvenience Warren, but they're not leaving us with a big hole in the ceiling that's raining in and damaging equipment. You know, it's really got to look at it as, what is it, you know, so we don't, you know, we don't want to spend a whole lot of extra money for people to say, well, I got to give you a $5,000 surety bond that I'm out, so they're going to jack up extra money on that to, just because they know they don't have that $5,000 in their bank account for those time period to work on it. You know, so that's a lot of the things that we would never really ask somebody to go, hey, you're doing this little job, give us a bond to make sure you're doing, you know, repainting. Like, we didn't ask for the people doing the painting or the carpets downstairs. So it's kind of putting it into that same context to try to move it along, bring more contractors willing to bid this, and not making it cumbersome for a small bidder. Because we're talking a project. This isn't a Turner project. This isn't Skanska. This isn't, you know, people that have that do this every day. This is, we're looking for literally small operations to do this kind of work. And this kind of stuff, the 60-some-odd page contract just literally scares people away that don't have the staff to even figure out what half of it is. Because I do a lot of this work, and I didn't know what half of this was until I did some of the research.
You do now, though, right?
I do now. But it was...
Seven versions later.
Exactly. So, yeah, so that was my mindset going into it, and how when Mike and I kept going back and forth and going, what is this? And then, you know, and this was referencing that and going, oh, he catches this. Oh, yeah, I took that out. But that was, you know, so a lot of this had many different revisions because there was a lot of, you know, cross flows through these segments. So just so you understand where we came from and why it's here, and what our hope and expectation to get it as a reasonable price so we can hopefully get this resolved.
So if there's any other discussion on the form of the bid, we could, as it's before you right now, the thought would be that if we approve it tonight, we would release it on Monday, the 26th of February, which gives us a couple days to get all the nits done. There's no change to the specifications in terms of what the job is. We would publish this on February 28th, which means it has to be ready Friday, and the pre-bid conference would be scheduled for March 13th at the DPW building. The bids would be due March 21st, which would give bidders nearly 4 weeks to analyze the specifications, get back to us, and give us 10 days or so before our next meeting after that to make a decision.
I'll make
any
that thought? Motion as the mayor specified.
Is there a second or other discussion?
I'm sorry. Did somebody make a motion to approve?
You made the motion to approve.
I'll second. Dates.
Mark second. Is there a roll call vote?
Yes.
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 All right.
Okay, hopefully we done. Get your building straightened out. Okay, next on the agenda is a wrap-up.
Old business?
Sorry.
Maybe something Matt might be able to help us with. I'm not sure where we're at. I don't think we've made any progress, but with the taxpayer money tied up in that dormant accounts with the LOSAP, have we gone anywhere towards recouping that back?
There's not much of it, but no. I'm still working on that with Lincoln, trying to figure
Lincoln
out
financial.
What. Yeah. So it's just making sure that what we're taking back, it's not a lot, so I want to make sure we're right.
Sure, sure.
I don't want someone yelling, because I'm still waiting out couple people that didn't have most of it's the rescue squad people.
Yeah, so it's not forgotten, that's all.
It's not forgotten, but most of them are rescue squad people that I've reached out to
you
a couple times.
You don't think we need Matt at all? It's good.
No, I just need the letters that I've sent out. We've sent out the letters, and some of them had responded, some of them didn't, some just called me. And the ones that called me, I asked for some in writing, and that seems to be difficult. But we're going to get to a point where, but like I said, it's...
Well, I mean, I might get to a point where we get no response, and then we...
And I just, we just have to do it. But I just want to make sure we don't, like I said, it comes down to, you know, in that report, it was somewhere around 26,000. In reality, it's like 3,000. Mm. So we're not talking a lot of value to us, so it's not the end of the world if we wait a little longer to make sure we're not messing somebody up.
Twice.
Yeah.
And then are we done with that discussion?
Yeah, I think so.
Old business. Next meeting, I'll have some more on the panic buttons because I got another quote in today from Warren, and I have to go through it because it involves, I guess, a simultaneous path of upgrading the system in here or just using buttons, and so it's going to take some time to look through it, and then I'll present.
Okay.
I also have a little old business. It's been on my mind. We had a franchise agreement with Comcast, and in that agreement was a technology grant, a one-time technology grant for Lebanon Township. Do we know what happened to that technology grant or where it is? It was, an amount of $20,000. Could I ask Matt to follow up on that to see where that is? That was one of the agreements we made.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that...
Greg or Joanne, I would guess, would probably know best about that.
Well, okay, but I don't know if it's even made it this far. We can look there, and if it hasn't made it that far, I know the office should have some information on it. We worked together on that closely for that franchise agreement, and one of the stipulations was a technology grant of $20,000.
Do you remember the year? Do you remember the year? Just to.
I'm going to say 2015. I'm going to just say this. Yeah. Mark may be helpful.
Yeah, I think that was my first year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a standard provision they agree to.
Right.
So.
But, you know, and it just kind of drifted on, you know, so.
All right.
However we can locate that.
Yeah, if Greg knows if we got the money or not, and if we didn't, I can follow. I can run it from there.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other old business? Okay, then on to new business. The first item on new business for the agenda is appointment of a full-time DPW employee. I'm going to suggest that we defer that action or consideration of that action until after the executive session.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah. Then on to raffle application. Two of them. The first raffle application is for St. John Neumann Church, dated June 2nd, 2018 at 10:15. To benefit the building and maintenance of the church, a 50-50 cash prize. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve the raffle license for a St. John Neumann Church.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the second raffle application, also St. John Neumann Church, also June 2nd, 2018. Also to benefit the billing and maintenance, and this is for a number of raffle for a number of prizes. Troy built a riding mower, Weber Genesis grill, etc. Any discussion, or would there be a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the second raffle for St. John Neumann Church on June 2nd.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item is... up the firing range lease agreement with Mellick's Town Farm for our police officers' firing range. I believe it's the same terms as in the past. They charge us $1. Is there any discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the contracts with Mellick's Lebanon Farm LLC for the firing range lease agreement for our police department.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And next item is a blue light permit application. This is for blue lights that go on the volunteer fire and EMS members' cars. This is for Edward T. Schaefer.
I'll make a motion to approve the blue light permit for Edward T. Schaefer.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So now we're at presentation of vouchers for any amount over $1,000.
All right. DPW, Fastenal Company, amount of $1,554.56. Finch Fuel Company, diesel fuel, $1,359.56. Morton Salt Company, $9,887.44. Morton Salt Company again for $19,182.25. So that's all I have.
I have one here for Mid-Atlantic Salt, which is a settlement of litigation for $11,400. That's all I have.
I have for our auditor, Ardito and Company, the second payment installment, $7,458. For Karen Newman, for the spring newsletter, two payments on two spring newsletter items and the website maintenance for a total of $1,000. For Dove Environmental Education, this is for after-school programs. This is paid for out of our Clean Communities grant. The total invoice is $1,720, but I need to check because it indicates that $430 of that was previously paid, but it's still over the $1,000.
That's what I have. Okay, I have three. I've got one to the Lebanon Township Board of Education for the March 2018 school tax, $1,654,333. I have one for North Hunterdon and Voorhees March school tax 2018 for $921,360.33. And then I have one to the New Jersey State Department of Health Veterinary Public Health Clinic for January 18th, dog licenses, pilot clinic, and animal population for $1,371.
Okay, I have one for Finch Fuel Company for gasoline for the police department, $1,075.31. And another one for Finch Fuel or Company for fuel heating oil for the municipal building and the DPW for $2,385.71. And that's all.
If there's no discussion, is there a motion to approve the vouchers?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Correspondence. We have the tax collector's report for the month of January. Taxes collected toward the year 2018, $1,288,800.01. Taxes collected for 2017, $44,479.92. Interest collected, $1,841.07. Redemption of a tax sale certificate, 201709, $14,704.66. Return of the premium on that same tax sale certificate, $6,100, for total net receipts of $1,349,825.66. We also have the minutes from the Environmental Open Space Commission for their December 18th meeting, as well as their January 15th meeting. And then we have a correspondence from Meals on Wheels, which Mr. Wonder would like to make a comment on?
Yes, I'd like to challenge my fellow elected officials to participate. We have a letter here inviting us for the annual 16th annual march for Meals on Wheels. It's an excellent time to help raise awareness for the growing number of seniors facing senior hunger and isolation, both serious problems currently impacting our communities as our nation at large. It's an annual month-long event. It's going to be March 19th to the 23rd. In doing so, we can connect with our seniors and help the Meals on Wheels and Hunterdon gain visibility for this important cause. So if you're interested, you can, or anyone in the public wants to volunteer, they can contact me directly. Sooner the better, so we can get, you know, volunteered up and help them fill the ranks. And if somebody wants to call them directly for questions, their number is 908-284-0735. Thank you. I plan to participate.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. With that, we're now going to open the meeting for public comments. For any member of the public who would like to make a comment, I would just remind everyone that these meetings are recorded and placed on our website tomorrow morning, so anything you say will be publicly available. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes, please come to the table, state your name, and the floor is yours.
An address.
Name and address? Is address required?
Yeah, they do.
The street.
Street.
Or street, yeah.
Lorraine Healy, Mattawan, New Jersey. Is coming here today to ask about your animal control and what happens to the animals in your township if they have nowhere to go. On December 18th, a dog was left abandoned in one of your homes here, where the occupant of the home had been reaching out to your local animal control because not only was she not able to take care of herself, but she surely wasn't able to take care of a dog. Your animal control refused to take the dog into their custody because they said it's not in their contract that they only take dogs that are running loose. So any dog that's in the township of Mattawan, at the township of Lebanon, if it's not running loose, where are your residents supposed to bring those dogs? Does anybody know?
They can surrender them to St. Hubert's.
St. Hubert's doesn't have your animal control contract. They won't take them.
Yes, they will.
No, they won't.
If you, well, I beg to differ, but
Animal Control Solutions has your
that's
contract.
That's our contract for collecting animals. But St. Hubert's, you walk into St. Hubert's, you surrender your dog, you pay a fee to surrender your dog, and you can
not if they don't have room. If they don't have your animal control contract, they won't take the dog. The police were dispatched when Animal Control refused to come and get the dog. The dog was emaciated. He had a hole in his foot. He was in a crate covered in urine and feces. Animal Control refused to come out, told them it wasn't their responsibility. The police came out. The police contacted Animal Control. They also said it was none of their responsibility. The police then contacted the NJSPCA, who came out. The NJSPCA contacted Animal Control, who again said it was not their responsibility. The NJSPCA contacted their supervisor, a sergeant, who contacted your township, who your township then put them back in touch with Animal Control. So in the meantime, this dog has absolutely nowhere to go, and a small organization like us now has over $2,300 in veterinary care, not to mention the housing, on a dog that is not our responsibility. But what are the other options? The option was to let the dog loose into your township, or a small rescue organization has to come in and pick up the slack that you're paying Animal Control Solutions to do.
What was the date? December 18th?
December 18th.
And this really isn't the venue to go into the details and the like, but we very much appreciate you bringing that to our attention, and I think we'll definitely look into that further and try to get to the bottom.
Is the township willing to reimburse the cost of coming in and taking care of that animal in your township?
I think we have to look into that. I don't think we can make that decision right now.
Okay, and who would I send that to? Because I've called you guys and I've mailed in the receipts and the information, and no one has returned any of our phone calls, and no one has responded to any of the mail correspondence.
Who did you mail them to?
To your town hall.
Was there a name?
I sent it to your township clerk, as well as the calls went into the township clerk.
We'll look for that and review. But if you want to leave us your contact information, you can do that tonight. Otherwise, we'll look for the letters and get in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments tonight? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We have two items for executive session. Discussion, we already mentioned the full-time DPW appointment and another personnel matter. I don't know if we need to identify more than that. Or
it involves contractual issue.
The contractual issue. So is there a motion to go into executive session? That would be what's the resolution?
It's 2718.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to go into executive session, resolution number 27-2018.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much. If you'd like to stay, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, and we
just wait for a minute.
We need to just do them separately, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Each person.
Actually, give you the paperwork.